Generally speaking, when you want to speak in any situation, not even church, church is even the least place, But in whenever you want to speak before people, you always feel nervous. Abino? And that's nerves, or those nerves are actually a good thing. They're not a bad thing. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are you hearing me? Yeah, they actually it's actually a good thing. It's not necessarily that you are not competent or something. It's just excitement. Whenever you want to do something that means a lot to you, you will have nerves. It's about excitement. So don't see it as a bad thing. Are we together? Yeah, don't see it as a bad thing. See it as a good thing. I'm just excitement. It's the same thing. Excitement and fear are the same thing. They feel the same way. So lots of times because we don't know this, we think that we are afraid when you are just excited. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. So your heart to be beating. It's okay for your heart to be beating. To today, my heart is always beating. When I want to do something, so that's that. So I really need you to know that, okay, so that you don't think that you are. Many people think that the fear means that they are not doing the right thing. No, even no matter your preparation, no matter what you do, whenever you just want to do something that means a lot to you, it's possible that you would be. What's happening? Huh? Whenever you want to do something that matters a lot to you, it is possible that you will feel nervous. Hallelujah. Also, making a point of duty to not look at people's faces. Well, I don't even mean that literally. I mean it internally. You have to be somebody that doesn't care about what people think. Hallelujah. And that's why you shouldn't. I will never judge anybody based on in quotes how eloquent you are. That's not. When you want to talk, you deliver what you want to say and go. That's all. And as long as you say what you want to say, yeah, God is happy with you. Are we together? Are we together? As long as you say what God will have you say, you're good. So, for you to be able to say what you have to say, then you have to be somebody that doesn't care about what people are, how people are responding. So you can't be used, your mouth can't be used by God if you are looking at people. You can't be the kind of person that can. You have to be. I'd rather that you make mistake than you are too cautious. It's better for me if you can see somebody and say your mouth is smelling. It's better. Are we together? And you are too careful, and then because that care is cowardice. Everybody here should be able to look their friend in the eye and say, "Your body odor. Your body is smelling." Are we together? Are we together? Yeah, you should. You should be able to. You should be able to call your friend to walk on and say, "Bro, your mouth is smelling. You need to brush your mouth." That's the hardest thing that people. I don't know why. Well, I know why, because I've not forgotten how I used to be before. But as the person I am, I don't know why. There's nothing there. You should be able to say the truth in love. But I'd rather you say the truth not in love than not say the truth at all. Do you understand? All right. So today we are going to continue. Can we just clap for this? So today we are going to continue. Push, get ready. God has a lot of plans for you. Look forward to our prayer retreats. There's also going to be a, look forward to our prayer retreats, right? Just look forward to our retreats, you know. It will be in September. When, I'm not yet sure, but it will be in September, before school resumes. We also thank God again. I know I mentioned it last week, but we also thank God for everyone, you know, passing their exams, getting admission, you know. Can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. In a couple of months, some people will go to school. You know, that's a good thing. So that means that I need to do another meeting for those going to school on how to. I've done one before. I need to do another one so that I have the wisdom on how to succeed in the university. Hallelujah. All right. So today we'll be continuing overcoming life's challenges, right? Time has gone, so I'll just lay. I won't say much because there isn't. I will continue next week. But we'll be talking about how to overcome challenges, right? Who can tell me one or two things they've learned so far? Anyone who wants to tell me one or two things they've learned so far? Yeah, you can. I want to just give her down so that you won't be coming all the time.
So, from last week, I learned that man commands the attention of God and that our greatest weapon is our mind. And the thought is that when we are solving problems, we're in God mode.
Amazing. Thank you. All right. So, I always have to encourage you to go back to the messages, okay? So, go back to the messages. Make sure you go back to the messages. All right. So, we'll be continuing, and one of the things we're going to talk about. So we're going to start talking about problems, right? What are the problems that we actually need to overcome? And then what are the mechanisms or tools that we have to solving problems? You see, God has given us tools. God has given us, like, equipment. God has given us the ability to solve every single problem that comes our way. Can we say that together? Yeah. Every single problem that comes our way, you know. And it's not money, you know. It has nothing to. Even though the problem might be money, the tool is not money. Amen. You see, you need to. The understanding God is very simple. Hallelujah. What I mean by that is that, you know, there is this. When you are your phone, for example, now, are we together? Yeah. Your phone, for example, now, there is something that they call idiot proof. like people that design technology, they design it in a way that for your technology to be used well, it has to be designed in a way where somebody that doesn't have sense can use it. Because human beings don't have sense like that. Technical knowledge, that's what I mean, you know. If I give you a computer now, if I give you a full computer, you know, what you can probably do with it is maybe just 20% of what the computer can do. Hallelujah. Are we together? Yeah. Computers, you can do a lot of things with computers, right? And there are plenty of things that computers can do to you too, meaning as per stress. You know, they can stress you out, you know. Maybe one day you might open your laptop and find out that the sound is no longer working. It's not bringing out sound, you know. And to fix it, you know, you have to change the driver. How many of you can change driver? You see, I think I'm talking about, you know, computers have drivers. Drivers are the things that make the software work with the hardware. Are we together? No way, be your brain like that. I know what I'm saying is high, it's on purpose. So the hardware is like the speaker, the screen. I'm using a laptop, so the laptop screen, that's hardware, the keyboard, you know. So the driver, for instance, is the reason why when you press mute, it's that thing that connects that button to the actual software. So when you press mute or when you press increase volume, your Windows will know that, okay, let me increase the volume. So you need a driver. It acts like a connector. Sometimes the driver could be spoiled, you know, and you'd be like, this laptop has spoiled. But the laptop actually has no spoiled. It's just that maybe there's something wrong with the driver. So because you don't know, you will not carry it to Computer Village. Then the Computer Village guy that knows that this is a simple problem, he will charge you 50K, you know, because you don't know. Hallelujah. Are we together? So I'm just giving a whole story so that I can understand the concept of idiot proof, right? So typically when you're making technology, because many people don't have technical knowledge, you have to make it in a way where it is easy to use, okay? That's the difference between Apple and Android, right? Apple is just, everything just works like that, you know. Android, if you go and download rubbish, you can have virus. Are we together? So, but with an Android, you can do more, you know, you can do more. You can do more things. If you know how to navigate your way, you can connect your phone to your TV. And you'll be using it, you might connect keyboard to your phone. You'll then be using it as your laptop or your PC. So when you want to make successful technology, you need to make it in a way where even if you don't know anything on earth, you know. So what I'm trying to tell you is that it's not just natural that maybe I say, let's Google something. And then you go and then you Google the thing. It's intuitive. You just know how to use it, right? It's because it's been specifically designed that way. Are we together? Are we together? Because everything that you see is intentional. This AC, for instance, is intentional. If I tell you to turn off this AC, what will you do? And there's no remote. What will you do? You press it, right? So somebody put that in there intentionally so that even if you don't have sense, once you see that thing, there's a way the button is. You know, okay, this is the button I should press. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So God has designed knowing him that way too. He has designed it in a way that no matter how illiterate you are we together? No matter how much you don't know book, I mean, in the context of maybe you didn't go to school, or you don't have any, you're not an intelligent person, according to how humans define intelligence, everybody can still know God. Are we together? Everybody can still know God. God is simple. God is so simple. In fact, he also specifically tries to then play with human beings. He tries to use things that human beings would call stupid to prove a point that, you know, I don't need you people. So Christianity is not complex. Can you tell your neighbor Christianity is not complex? Yeah. And why did I even say this? There was something I said before this. Does anybody remember? Don't worry, it's fine. So, anybody, irrespective of, yeah, remember why, you know, so I was talking about money, how money is not the solution. So, it's very simple. So, anybody, you don't need to be, you know, and that's why you have to be very, you see, there is a difference between, are we together? There's a difference between scientific knowledge and knowledge, you know, that you know, you can be a brilliant scientist, or you can be a brilliant, say, student. Are we together? And you don't know anything about life. Okay? You can be a very intelligent person, meaning when it comes to your academic work, especially in Nigeria, with the way we teach people. You know, let me say this to encourage you. Many of the people that you think are intelligent are actually not intelligent. Okay? They're just people that are good at mimicking, which is a skill in of itself. Are we together? Meaning you can cram. You have a mimicking mind, you know, which is important. It's important in some context. But generally speaking, I don't think you should be... nobody here should conclude on whatever your work result is, or you don't conclude. You are still great, I tell you the truth. You know, in this country, you are great. You know, you can be a very stupid person and excel in a Nigerian school, which is part of what I need to teach those going to university. Are we together? So there's a difference between intellectual knowledge and, let me call it, spiritual knowledge or God knowledge. The two are not usually the same. Even though if you know God, it would also be intellectual. You can't know God outside of your mind. Hallelujah. Are we together? Huh? Are we together? You can't know God outside of your mind. Okay? So if you know God, it will still be intellectually sound. But you can be intellectually sound according to men, but you don't know God. Not only do you not know God, you don't know life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm teaching you, so what we're looking at is how to navigate life. I'm giving you the secrets of life, and I want you all to start using them in your young age. Amen. Amen. Okay? I want you to start using them in your young age. You know, there is no problem. All problems are foundationally the same thing. The face of it might be different. One's problem might be, I don't have money. Another problem might be, I'm not passing my way, you know. The problems could have different phases, but they are fundamentally coming from the same place, and the way you deal with them, the practicality of it can be different, but the principle is always the same. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. Listen to me, because if people have problems, if people have problems. Okay. So, the practicality of the solution could be different, but the principle is the same. You will keep on doing the same things. So if you have that wisdom from God, what it means is that it doesn't mean that you wouldn't have problems. As long as you're on earth, you will always have problems of various kinds. But what it means is that you will always be able to overcome your problems. Are we together? Are we together? All right. So, let us look at something. There is one major problem. Okay? There are various, without the board, I wish you had the board, but when we talk about problems, there is one major problem that all of mankind has. Okay? That is the core of all problems. You know, there is one big problem. And that problem is not anything that is physically happening to you. Okay? That problem is just the problem of sin. Okay? Can we say the problem of sin? Capital S. Okay? Not the individual actions that people do. That's what I mean. But sin itself. The sin is a life force. It's an energy. Are we together? It's an energy that was created by man. It is the possibility of disobedience to God. Okay? Now that is the major problem of mankind. That is the root of all problems. Okay? That's the root of all problems. That's where all problems are coming from. Okay? And when God was looking at man and he had mercy on man and wanted to solve man's problem, you know, he didn't, he solved it at the root cause. That's why he sent Jesus to die for us. Hallelujah. Are we together? Huh? So Jesus came to solve the core problem of mankind. Okay? So what I'm saying, we'll look at a scripture now, but what I'm saying, now, okay? So they are what I will call spiritual problems, okay? Of the first, which is what we just spoke about, capital S-I-N, okay? That's the major, that problem is a, it's an overarching problem, you know, it affects every other thing, which is spiritual debt, or capital S-I-N, okay? So that's a spiritual problem. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Huh? Now, the beautiful thing of what God has done for us, and I want you all to thank God for this, is that we can't experience spiritual debt. And number two, we can't be possessed by demons. Is that not a good thing?
Yes, sir.
That's a good thing. You know, can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. We can't experience spiritual debt. That sin issue has been dealt with. And part of the side effect of that is that we can't be possessed by a demon. You know. If it has sense, the demon can be blowing your ear. You know. But that's different from possession. You know. I tell you, that's a very, very good thing. You know. Very good. You don't want to, you know. Demons. Demons are wicked. You know. The possibility of pity doesn't exist. You know. And that's why you need to learn this thing that I'm saying, because, you know, Satan is not going to eventually have a change of heart. If you allow Satan to mess up your life, Satan will eventually say, this suffering is too much. Let's pause it. You know? That's not what it's going to do. Are we together? Yeah. You know, there are people that are possessed with demons. You know, for example, there's a story right now in America. You know, a woman, she claims it's mental health, but a mother, she killed her 3 children. She strangled them one by one. You know? And then when they arrested her, the feminists are now supporting the woman that she is mental health. But that's what a demon can make somebody do. You know. Hallelujah. There are people that cut themselves, you know. It would be using blade. Can you imagine? You would just be using blade, you know. Be cutting yourself. Cutting yourself. You know. Hear my point. There are people that, they say they have split personality. One day I'm calm, the other day I'm not calm. You know. Hallelujah. So, as a child of God, you have already been redeemed from that. And so God has ownership of you. Can you say, God has ownership of me? That's what it means to be possessed, is to be owned. Are we together?
Yes,
no matter, you know, and that's no matter the sin that you have, as long as you have a thought that I'm not doing, it's you that's deciding to do it. I don't know if you get what I'm saying, you know. Ownership is different. Ownership is a totally different concept, you know. And the ownership is different from, wake him up, and the ownership is different from God's ownership. You know, God is not a witch. What I mean by that is that God does not dominate people. Huh? God allows you. You have to allow him. So God won't be stressing you. You have to allow him. But Satan is not like that. Satan will stress you. You understand? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
I was watching a witch. She was giving her testimony of how she got saved and everything. And she was telling that, you know, which I don't, you shouldn't make it a habit of, you shouldn't make it a habit of watching witches and, you know, there's nothing wrong in watching an ex-witch tell her story of how she met Jesus Christ. But I'm just saying that you shouldn't leave that. So she was talking about how when they used to pray, you can say, I wake up 5 o'clock to pray, but you have not done it this year. You understand, right? And God has not killed you. Over there, you can't try that nonsense. You know, if they say we are coming to do sacrifice 12 p.m., that 12 p.m., you must be there. You must be there. If you sleep in your dream, they'll beat you up. They'll wake you up. Go there. You know? Like they'll flog you. One, yes. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So, ownership. You know, can you say again, I'm owned by God?
Owned by God.
Yeah, I'm owned by God. You know, you are owned by God. You need to know this, okay? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need to know this. This is not based on your prayer life. Please, are we together? Whether you prayed 5 hours, you've not prayed at all, you need to know this. You are owned by God. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So you are owned by God. You know. As you are like this now, you have angels watching over you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have angels. It's not only men of God that have angels. Every one of us have angels. You understand? At least 2 or 3. Do you get what I'm saying? Like you're a big person to God. Amen. You have your own personal bodyguard. You know? Do you understand what I'm saying? My point is that you're a big deal. You're not just one random person, you know, down the road that doesn't have help. You have help. You have God's angels. You know? There's so much that is happening, you know, that even you yourself, you are not aware of. You know, there's so much action film that has happened that even you yourself, you are not aware of. You know. So the point is that the Lord, as a result of his sacrifice, has already solved the major problem that anybody will ever have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand? Yeah. The major problem that anybody will ever have. Jesus, as a result of his sacrifice, has already solved it. Do you get my point? The rest is then your choice. Do you hear? Meaning your life is going to be as a result of the choices that you are making. That's all. So Jesus has already solved the major problem. You just be doing good things. That's all. Your life is going to be good. Do you get my point? So that's what I'm saying that, or what I mean by that also is that even though the major problem of life has been solved, there are still things that, or negative experiences that as a child of God you can't have because your life is in your control. What I mean by that is that God has, you're like a mini God. You know, God has given you power and control to make decisions. It's very powerful. It's a very powerful concept. You can choose. So, if you choose wrongly, you will see the impact of wrong choices. If you choose rightly, you will see the impact of right choices. So, because you are existing on earth, human beings are making different choices, and those choices are having multiple impacts. So, you can buy a brand new car today, and in that car, you'll be very careful. I don't want to scratch this car. And as you just come out of your house, one of Kadama will just hit the car. Why? Because you are careful. He is not careful. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So you are still exposed to things that are not of your own control. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? You are still exposed to things that are not of your own control. So you can still have, that's why you will still have problems. But those problems are not the major problem. All those problems are problems that will be solved or will be, you just need to know how to solve them or how to respond to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Jesus Christ has already simplified it for every one of us. He has already solved the major problem everyone can have. And then it's left for you to then just use wisdom to then be solving all the other small, small problems that you are seeing. Or you respond to them the right way to respond to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So, what are some of these problems? For instance, in your body, you could have sickness, right? Abinah. Yeah, you could have sickness, you know. There could be limitations on the body, maybe size or deformity. You know, I think the week before AAC, we looked at the story of the man that was born blind. How many of you remember that story? We looked at the story of the man that was born blind, you know. And it's not his fault he was born blind. You know, he was just born blind, maybe genetics, whatever. Or sickness or whatever. You know. Some people, for example, are born without pigments, albinos. Right? It's not their fault. And because of that, they can't stay under hot sun. You know, albinos can't stay under hot sun, it's old, because their skin doesn't have protection. Your black skin is actually a good thing. It protects you from sun. Are we together? Although if you see, without issues with white people, but if you see white people can be very, if you see their skin, you can want to run away. You know. You know, the way the skin goes, cut. Do you understand? Are we together? And so you have issues in your body, you know, things like that, your problems. Then majorly, but all of these are trivial things. The major area is in your mind. Say my mind. Say my mind. That's the seat. Remember what we are saying, or what we are now trying to solve are small, small problems with choices. So that mind, how that mind is working is very important because if the mind is not working well, you'll be making the wrong choices perpetually. You will always be making the wrong choices. Hallelujah. Let me use politics as an example. Let me give you the example, then I'll tell you why I'm saying so. You know, people are suffering right now in this country. People are suffering. In fact, if you think you have seen suffering in Lagos, if you have not seen suffering, go to Kogi. When you enter Nigeria, as in the suffering that you will see, you know. Now, people have a choice over who will lead them. Abidjan, people can vote for their leaders. So it's a very powerful thing. You know, you can choose and say, I don't like the way you have made my life hard. So go away. Let me get somebody that will make my life better. Abidjan?
Yeah.
So people are suffering. But you know that if you talk to many people in, say, Ekiti State, and you say, who will you vote for? They will still vote for the person that is making them suffer. Why? Because we have the same tribe. Hallelujah. Are we together? And it's not a Yoruba thing. If it was an evil person, we'll do the same thing. Don't that worry, none of us did the same thing. The people in North, they did the same thing. So what's causing that thing? What we call tribalism. Okay? Meaning, your tribal identity is overriding your logic. So you're not thinking well. Now, because you are not thinking well, you will never make the right choice of leader. Do you get my point? Because even if I show you somebody that can make your life better, and I'm not saying Peter Obi can make your life better, but even if I show you someone that can make your life better, your brain will say, this person can make my life better, but that thing will come, and it will override your brain. So you will choose the wrong thing. You will always be choosing the wrong thing. Do you understand? Later now, you now go to prayer meeting and say, let's pray for Nigeria to be better. Hallelujah. Or you will then pray and say, oh God, make me rich, make me rich. You know? Or God, take away this poverty from me. No, you are the one causing your poverty yourself. It's your mind, the way your mind is. And that's just one area of policy. It will also affect every other area of your life. Your choices, you will be consistently choosing the wrong things. Why? Because of how your mind is not working well. Do you understand what I'm saying? So therefore, for example, you must never be a tribalistic person. Even in church, you can't even be a tribalistic person. I mean, you can be, but you wouldn't, you'll be spit out. You won't flow, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying? So your mind, even if your body has problem, how you will still navigate that problem is through how your mind is working. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is the difference between religion and spirituality. Okay? If you want religion, go and go to National Stadium or something to pray. When they are doing crusade or something, go and pray for solution. If you want to be spiritual, then listen to what I'm saying. So your mind, say my mind.
My mind.
Yeah, your mind. Your mind has to be godly. Say my mind has to be godly. Yeah, my thoughts have to be godly. Okay? That realm of your soul, which is your mind and your emotions, that's where the major problem is. Even the spiritual problem. That's now, you don't have spiritual problem of the first kind, which is things like possession, other things, but yeah. Your spiritual problem is now what is happening in your mind. So things like negative emotions, right? Negative emotions, you know. Anxiety, all those kind of things. Those are real problems. It will be caused by maybe an external event. Maybe there's a payment deadline, you know, something like that. So, yeah. And also, there are also limitations in this sense. Maybe, not doing well. See, let me say this thing. Please, everyone, listen to me. Everyone, listen to me. Are you all listening to me? Are you all listening to me? Yeah. If you are not doing well in school, you need deliverance. Okay? I'll explain what I mean to you. If you're not doing well in school, you don't necessarily need deliverance from not doing well in school. Okay? The reason why you're not doing well in school is that you're in the wrong environment. Okay? If you're in the right environment, you'll be brilliant. But especially when you want to do well, you know. But if you're not doing well in school, you need deliverance from the smell of failure. Hallelujah. Are we together? It's a smell. It's like a perfume. Okay? It affects your mind and it makes your mind rationalize failure. Are we together?
Yes,
sir. You get used to failure. So things will enter your vocabulary. Things like, they gave me, hallelujah, not I got. The reason why you can't say you got is that you're not proud of it. So he said, they gave me, you know. Or one of the major signs that you're not going to achieve anything is that you are happy when everybody fails because you're part of them. You know, that's a very bad thing, you know. Because even if you are 15 in a class and everybody fails the course and you too, you fail, you should still be angry because you'll be thinking, I should be the one to pass. So that means that your expectations are shifted. You are now, you just silently admitted and you have the expectation of failure. And it will affect you in terms of what you can achieve, how you can do things. You won't have the mind that wants to do big things. You know, and you need deliverance from. So that is what you need deliverance from. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah, that's what you need deliverance from. Not, you don't need deliverance from the failure itself. You need deliverance from that mind that it has worked in you. Okay? And I'm serious about what I'm saying. Okay? Because that's actually a very spiritual thing, you know. There doesn't need to be crying and shouting. I'll not give an example now, but I wouldn't. Are we together? Ignorance. Ignorance is also a problem. You know, to be ignorant is a very big problem. When your mind is simple. Your mind is not meant to be. There's something called simple-mindedness. Your mind is not meant to be like that. Where you are a very aloof person. You don't know the difference between right and wrong. You know, it's because there's no knowledge in your soul. When there's knowledge in your soul, you will know the difference. You will have discernment. You know the difference between right and wrong. You know, if you go to prison now, you will see many young people that the reason why they're in prison is that they went for the wrong party. You know. There's one story like that of a guy, maybe he was in school in Kwara. I can't remember the exact. He was in school in Kwara. So they said they are doing party in Lagos. He now went from Kwara to Lagos. And in the party, they were now called these boys. Police now came and raided the place. The called boys now said he's one of us. Yeah. And that's how the guy entered prison. You know. You understand? It's a common story. It's not what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you something that happens rarely. You know, very common story. So they just came and just carried everything. And the cold boy, I don't know, maybe they were beefing. You know, that's in our Satan, wickedness. You know, they just say, he's one of us. He's one of us. So now you don't have proof because you have like 3 or 5 witnesses that are accusing you of being part of them, you know. That's lack of discernment. Hallelujah. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, lack of discernment. You know. You just follow people. Amen. You know, you just follow people. What are you people? You don't know. You just follow them. I saw this a lot when I was young, you know. I saw it a lot when I was young. Let me teach you something about life. It will help you in how you think. It's just a physical thing, but it will help you, you know. People do crime. Are you listening? People do crime in the areas where they can do crime. You know, think like a criminal now. If you want to steal something, where will you go to steal something? You go to the house that is unlocked. Abina. So, criminal behavior tends to go to the place where you can do the crime. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. So follow that logic now. If you want to rape a girl, where will you rape a girl? Where will you go to? Think that, where will you go to? Or not you, if someone wants to rape a girl. If someone, because okay, let's follow the train of thoughts. How does one get a girl to sleep with him that probably doesn't want to sleep with him? You said it. Drug, yeah, drug, right? You can drug her. Abina, you can drug her. So she's not aware, then you go and sleep with her, right? So where is the place that is most conducive to drugging girls? The club, yeah, party, yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? So what that means is that in the club and in the party, a lot of the men there are rapists. Because that's where the behavior can manifest. You know what I'm saying? They're not on the road. So as a girl, you wouldn't know that in a nightclub, maybe like 60% of the boys are potential rapists. But they're all smiling. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's what I mean when people don't have discernment. You don't know that you're actually in lion's den. Like you are in the midst of devourers, you know? So many people don't know. Many people lack discernment. They don't know that you're actually in an unsafe environment. Hallelujah. So, I'll give you three tools for solving problems, and we'll just talk on the first one, in like 10 minutes, and we'll close. So, there are three tools for solving problems. The first is peace. Can we say that? Second is wisdom. Can we say it well? Peace. Second is wisdom. The third is patience. Yeah. Peace, wisdom, and patience. By peace, what do we mean? Okay, peace is an understanding. Peace is a kind of spiritual understanding. Jesus said, let's read it. Let me not rush. Let's read not Jesus, Paul. Philippians 4 verse 7. Philippians 4 verse 7. All right, can we read it together? One, two, go. Amen. You guys are losing energy. Let's read it together. One, two, go. Amen. So, his peace will guard your hearts and minds. This peace, as he says, it exceeds anything we can understand. In NKJV, passes all understanding. It's its own, it's, are we together? The peace of God is its own understanding, okay? It's an understanding. It's a knowledge, okay? It's just not, it's a divine knowledge, meaning it doesn't come from earthly things. It comes from God. Do you understand what I'm saying, right? It comes from God. It doesn't come from earthly things. Earthly peace comes from peace, meaning earthly peace comes from no problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? This one does not come from no problem. It doesn't mean that there will be problem. It just means that it comes from God. Okay? So it's a peace that directly comes from the Father. Remember, we said, so these are like the ingredients of life. So when we talk about life, which is being connected to God, if your spirit is connected to God's spirit, then it means that God's peace can flow into you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And as a believer, you have the innate ability to walk in peace. What I mean by that is that you have like the talents, you know. Someone could have the talent of being a musician, right? Now, what you then need to do is to hone that talent. So go and learn how to play the piano. Go and learn how to, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying? So as a believer, you have the innate ability, or you have the innate nature of God, which is peace. Peace is part of that nature, right? So you need to hone that talent. Why do you need to hone that talent? You see, this is the major defense against the lie of Satan. You see, Are we together? Please, don't lose me. Don't lose me. I know you're tired. Don't lose me. You see, the major attack that Satan has to all men is his lies. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What does it mean to be successful? What does it mean to be successful? Let me ask one or two people. What does it mean to be successful? Huh? To have money. Okay. You see, that's another. I'm not saying. I said, what does it mean to be successful? There's no spiritually, non-spiritual. To buy land. I know I've said that before. What does it mean to be successful? Just say it now. To have money. To be financially stable. Right. That's what it means to be successful. And that is the. You are all correct as regards the basic knowledge that we men have. Are we together? Right. So let me now ask you, according to that definition, was Jesus successful? No. So why are you following Jesus? Because he's spiritually successful. See, that's been the major problem. Why are you following Jesus that was not successful according to all your definitions of success? There are only two things. Follow it to his logical conclusion. Is either Jesus was not successful, eh? Or is either your definition of success is wrong? Do you understand what I'm saying, right? But when you look at Jesus's life, do you understand what I'm saying, right? So what that then means is that our definition of success is where the problem is. And that's the major work of Satan, because nobody sat you down. Nobody here has ever been sat down to be taught success. But you have a definition of success. Right? So what I'm just saying is that Satan gave you that definition. Okay? He gave you that definition. Through the things you watch, through the things that you see, through the things that you want to emulate, everybody has a definition of success in their mind that did not come from God. Are we together? Eh? And that is the major weapon that Satan has against you. Did Jesus come from a rich family? Was Jesus a billionaire? You know, this thing is so problematic for people. People can't come to terms with the fact that Jesus was not rich. Hallelujah. Are we together? People are ashamed of the fact that Jesus was not rich. We even have a whole theology around how Jesus was actually rich. Which is just, it's not a heresy, so you can say what you want to say, but you are just being funny. There's no way you can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and not understand that this bro was not Tonelu Melu. Drop this thing. You understand? He didn't live on earth like Tonelu Melu or like Dangote. You understand? He wasn't part of the rich people in that society. Are we together? What have we not heard? That the donkey is expensive. Do you know what it means for donkey? Huh? Are we together? It's the greed in your heart, you know, that makes you, Jesus must be rich. You know, you're just a greedy person. That's not revelation. Fix your heart. You understand? It's the heart. The heart is bad. He's the kind of person that will become rich and leave this church now. You understand? That's the kind of person you are. So fix your heart. Or like you. Maybe there's someone here now. You know, last week I was saying if anybody wants to be an influencer. So maybe now you now become an influencer. You now blow up. All of a sudden, you now be the one telling your parents what to do. You know? No, it can happen now. In fact, not only that it can happen, it happens. It happens. You think, let me not mention people's name. It's, you know. Did Jesus have wife and children? Huh? If you want to eat it, eat it, eat it. Did Jesus have wife and children? No, you know. So what that means is that if Jesus was your son, most likely you would say he's a failure. Hallelujah. He's not rich. He died at 33 without wife and children. Are we together? Are we together? You know? Who did they tell you stop the killing of twins in Nigeria? Okay, Mary Slessor. Okay. Did they tell you how many houses the woman had? Yeah. You just know that the woman stopped the killing of twins, have you? Okay. Now, try and think. Okay. Before she came, how many twins were killed? No, twins is not rare. So before she came to a village, it's possible that maybe over 100 years, 1 million twins have been killed. Have you not? And then someone came and stopped that thing. Okay? Let's assume she's the one that, you know, because you know, one thing I'm learning in history, everybody cannot write, you know, she might not have been the one. But let us agree. Okay, she's the one. So my point is that in 2026, does it matter if the woman had 3 children? No. Does it matter if she was fine? Does it matter if she was ugly? No. Now, maybe let's say her brother was in London and he had 5 houses. Do you know the name of the brother? No. Hallelujah. So, if you believe Satan's lie on what success is, I'm using this to explain peace. It's only this way that you can, it's only through the peace of God that you can disbelieve the lie of Satan, okay? Because if you believe Satan's lie, what it means is that you would think you have a problem because you have a lack. Hallelujah. But that you don't have a lack doesn't mean you have a problem. How many of you want a PS5? How many of you guys? Okay. You don't want. You used to want. I don't believe you. You still want. So now, in life, as you are like this now, you don't have a PS5. Have you gone to price? Do you know what the price is? 800,000, okay? And somebody said, Jesus, I like it. 800,000. So you lack a PlayStation 5, okay? Abi, now, that's the reality of your life, Abi. Guys, now, that's the reality of your life. You lack a PlayStation 5, okay? How many of you ladies want a Birkin bag or a Gucci handbag? Tell yourself the truth. If I give you for your birthday now, you collect. You collect, Abby. Which is around the same price, right? So currently, right now in your life, you lack a Gucci handbag. Okay, does Gucci make handbag? I don't know. Okay. Find out. You should find out. You should go to their website. Find out. You know, find. Don't be looking at it. Don't be looking at it. It's good to look at. So, currently, in all our lives now, we lack certain things that we want. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we lack certain things that we want. That's our reality. So the question now is, are you going to postpone your joy and happiness till you have it?
No.
No. If you do that, you're a very foolish person. Hallelujah. If you say, I'm only going to be happy until I can afford a PlayStation 5. You know? You're a very foolish person. Not because you won't eventually have the money, but the point is that you waste the time. Are we together? Because as you are now, I'm sure God's will for you is that you are happy. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? So those of you that want a PlayStation 5, what about a PlayStation 3? No, I'm saying, now what about a PlayStation 3? No, thank you. No, thank you, Abby. You don't want it. Somehow you don't want. Why don't you want it? Eh? Okay, you already have one now, but that's. But you, do you have one? You don't have one. Okay. But like, do you have one? You don't have one. Okay. So, why is it that you are postponing your enjoyment of game to PlayStation 5 when you can get a PlayStation 3? If you want to play God of War, there's God of War on PlayStation 5, but there's God of War on PlayStation 3. I mean, if you want to play Call of Duty, there's Call of Duty on on the PS5, but there's Call of Duty on PS3. Abina? Bolaji Abina? Yeah. So why don't you, instead of giving your parents heart attack, why don't you say, Daddy, I'm going to be a good boy this year. I'm going to do my exam, everything. I'm going to get A. I'm going to do everything. But all I want is I want a PS3. It's not that expensive. It's just 80,000 naira. It's just, how much is a PS3? Maybe 100 and something thousand. You know, I'm going to do everything so that I can get this game. And then when you get the game, you're going to kneel down and say, Jesus, I thank you for giving me this PlayStation 3. I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm going to have fun with it. It's not better than the dreaming. No, talk now. It's not better than the dreaming. It's better now. You understand? It's better. So you see that there's a lot of happiness that you have cut yourself short from because you are not at peace. Hallelujah. There's chaos in your soul. Okay? There's chaos in your soul. And you are comparing yourself with other human beings. For example, I can tell you for a fact, one of the things I want to do now, I want to buy a PlayStation 3 so that I can play old games. Personally, because I don't like new games. New games are too stressful. You download like 100 gig. Hallelujah. Are we together? My point is that you're not all your pain of I'm not enjoying my life is all in your mind. It's you that is not at peace. Hallelujah. If you're at peace, you will enjoy your life. No matter what you have. You understand? No matter what you have. If you're at peace, you will enjoy your life. All right, let's end here. We'll continue next week. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You want to pray? All right, let's say a short prayer. Father, we thank you for today, Lord, and we ask that your peace shall guide our hearts in the name of Jesus. We ask, Father, that we shall walk in your peace all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. I just need to tell you so that you're aware that so that I won't leave you to just go. So how you walk in peace, we'll look at it in depth next week. But how you walk in peace is to pray and be thankful. Okay? Prayer and thanksgiving. Right? So you need to always pray. And you need to always be in thanksgiving. Okay? What do I mean pray? It is very important that you pray even for little things. Okay? Because prayer is about letting God know that you are the source of everything I have and I'm going to wait for you. So as long as something is affecting your heart, pray about it. Don't say it's too small. Okay? As long as it's affecting your heart. Even if it's a type of shoe you like. As long as the thing is entering your eye, it's entering your heart, pray about it. Okay? Because it means a lot to you. And if it means a lot to you, it means a lot to God. So pray and then be in thanksgiving. Okay, be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for your life. Then the second thing is to practice God's word. Okay? So your mind has to be focused on God's word. And you need to practice God's word. That's how you stay in peace. When you stay in peace, you discover that you don't have problem. Okay? If you can have peace, 90% of your problem has been solved. So, yeah, you don't have problem. No matter what is happening. Yeah, you don't have problem. You get it. All right. Let's rise up and share the grace. On to go. All right.